Hey everybody, and welcome to a fly wild ride with Steve-O. They don't fly much higher than the Birdman. I mean, this dude, he and I have a history, which you'll find out about. We recorded a rap song, The Wild Boys. It was me, Chris Pontius, and the legendary shark man, Manny Puig, at Birdman's house in Louisiana. The song was called From the Ghetto to the Swamp. And man, I asked all the guys, like, do they have it? Nobody can seem to track it down, but we will hear about it from the Birdman himself. And it's just so rad that he remembers me as fondly as he does. The connection that we had with the representative who we shared, very crazy story. And there's a lot in this, and it's packed into a fairly short time. We didn't want to keep the Birdman for too long. So this is one of our shorter episodes, but it's also one of our best. So let's get into it.
Man, I'm trying to go get something to eat.
You are?
Yeah. You want to go?
I'm good, man. I just ate, but whatever you need, we got.
Big facts. I'm with you. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you.
All right.
First of all, I appreciate you extending your hand to me. Why? You know, we go back a long ways.
20 years.
We go back a long ways, and I watch your come up.
That's right.
And that shit been very intriguing to me to watch how you came up.
Well, thank you.
It's different from how I came up.
we will get into it. And I'm going to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, people of the universe, I bring to you Birdman, a.k.a. Baby.
Real talk. Number one stunner.
That's right.
Number one stunner.
I live and I die by that. And I watch your come up, brother. Like, just like you watch mine. I think we really came up around the same time.
Ah, you got me by a good...
Couple of years. Yeah, come about a couple of years. But I still watch you be a wild, crazy guy that, you know, that came up and we was managed to come together and you came to New Orleans, and I thought that was a great episode, just meeting each other, because I was a fan. I'm still as a fan. And just being a part of watching you come up and being a fan, that was intriguing when you came to New Orleans. Cause I remember when you was in the studio, and you rapped. You understand? It was me, Wayne. That was Lil Wayne. Was Lil Wayne? You heard me? Five before we really, really, really blew. So that's what made me say, like, your come up was around when I would come up, because we still was in the come up stage.
Yeah,
when we met.
Wait, can you guys explain, like, what happened?
Okay,
like, what are you talking about?
We met in, I want to say it was 2004. We were filming Wild Boys, and I would not be surprised if the reason why we got together to film Wild Boys was because you and I were both clients of Vernon Brown.
Of course. Vernon Brown is a general.
Vernon Brown
is a general.
He is a boss.
Oh, he's a beast on the business side. And I still work with Vernon Brown till today.
I love that.
He really covered me in the music business.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's just get right to it. I mean, Cash Money, is it correct that Cash Money Records has sold more than a billion albums?
Yes. Yes.
Which is
unbelievable.
It's unbelievable. It's been sold by far more albums than
anybody ever in music history. Well, I say that respectfully, and I say that because, you know, I'm in a challenging business that a lot of other men take on. I don't say that in spite of no man.
Of course.
I say that in respect to any man and every man, but we was able to do a little more than everybody that ever did the business.
Yeah, you say it as an objective fact with humility. And what's even more staggering about Cash Money is that it, as I understand it, in order to become big in music, you always had to have a record label. But if you had a record label, it was basically impossible to own your own publishing and your masters.
Thanks.
So prior to Cash Money, the only person who really did that was Master P. Is that about right?
See, the publishing and the record shit is that's two different parts of music, right? So,
that's publishing and masters.
Don't get me wrong, Master P did a great job. I always salute dude for his accomplishments. I respect him as a hustler and as a man. He did great, but I think what we did was a little bit different. Publishing, we didn't even, when we were just young, we didn't even know about none of that shit. You hear me? So when we got in the business, all we was trying to do was sell records and rap. And Vernon Brown was a guy who really took and taught about the business, and Manny Fresh and my brother, you know, taught us about the business. But early on, we ain't know nothing about none of that shit. Yeah. Nothing about none of the business part of it. And once I got into it, and I completely stopped rapping, and I gave Wayne the flow, I wanted to go learn about the business. Once I learned about the business, then I realized, okay, because there's so much to learn. I'm still learning at this point in my life. So, it took time, a lot of time, but it took time for me to learn about the business and realize that, all right, this is what we got, this is what we could do, and this is what we could do. By then, I was already caught up in bullshit by the time I learned about the business. But me and Wayne was able to just figure it out, and my brother Slim, we was able to figure it out. But it took me a time to learn it because I didn't know it.
Yeah. You did have the publishing, everything. Like,
I didn't know nothing about publishing.
Ah.
I ain't know nothing about publishing.
So you didn't, because the way that Vernon Brown described it to me, he said, you know, you got your artists, like, you know, say Jay-Z, say whoever, you know, maybe they can sell more albums, but they got to sell 10 times more albums to make as much money as you're making with Cash Money, because by the fact of you owning the music, you're making...
I did own everything. I never allowed none of the labels to own nothing.
I own everything. Universal.
No, Universal never owned nothing. We own all our own music, publishers. So when I figured out and found out, I went and established what was missing and what was lost, because we always owned everything. Still today, I own 100% of my company. I own 100% of my masters. I never allowed Universal. And they gave me, and I got nothing but love and respect for Universal, because they never tried to take that from me. They gave me, and that was my consent that this is what I wanted to do, and they never tried to take that from me. And I know early on, and other artists and other people's careers, not to say Universal, but they took that from them.
Yeah.
I never experienced that.
That's epic. Do you know, you had to have known, that Vernon Brown was such a boss. Vernon Brown got me a record deal with Universal Music Group.
Thanks.
So yeah, I was making a comedy gangster rap album called Hard as a Rock.
But the real question is, when you guys were in the studio, what do you think of Steve's rapping skills?
Top five.
Really though, honestly, I didn't even think about it. I thought he was just having fun.
Yeah.
Swear to God, I didn't think that he was really trying to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I thought he was just having fun.
Yeah.
And him having fun, I was going to have fun with him. But I never thought that he was trying to be a rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just thought he was just having fun.
Love it.
When you're first starting out, like you're on the come up and you're getting into the music world, how did you get such a good deal? Like being so new, how do you not get screwed going into that? Because a lot of people do.
Because
you own 100% of everything, and that right. seems like it's rare.
I just felt like I didn't feel like that. I lost so much to gain a little. I wasn't gonna let the labels take from me what I already lost. I lost my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister. I lost so much to gain a little. So to me, either we're gonna play ball my way or fuck it. Because I was that confident about my success. Mm. I was super confident that we was gonna be successful. I believed in Wayne. I believe in Nicki. I believe in Drake. I believe in BG. I believed in Fresh. I believed in myself. So I believed in Juvenile for sure. I believed in what we had. So I was abundance to feel like we'll lose. And this is what we gonna do, and we gonna win. And that was my whole take on it. I ain't take no shorts about it, and I believed in it, and I didn't give a fuck who didn't.
I think also the answer to that would be that you, from the beginning, were your own label. You were an independent label.
That's
you
a
were
fact.
Your own, so you weren't. You didn't have a relationship with some big label to try to take
I started
take
my
it
label
in.
At 16.
Yeah, you were your own deal.
I was 16 years old when I started Cash Money Records.
Yeah, so you made your own rules. You sold your own records.
Right.
Nobody
so,
was in a position to take anything
nah,
from you.
No, facts. So, yeah. To me, I wasn't allowing none of that. Like, you know, I had a hard upbringing, so none of that shit mattered. None of that shit meant nothing to me. I was 16 years old when I started my label, so this is what we doing. Yeah. I had to put it in my mind and my heart. This is what we gonna do. We gonna get out the ghetto on music. And that's what we did.
Hey, when you're in a bad situation, you want to get out of it any way that you possibly can. And when that bad situation is a medical emergency, which may have arisen because you live adventurously, then why not be prepared in advance with this badass first aid emergency kit from the wellness company? It is not a run-of-the-mill first aid emergency kit. No. This comes with a tourniquet, anti-clotting powder, prescription burn cream. Like, there's actually 9 different prescriptions that you get with this thing. And all kinds of supplies for just about every imaginable situation you could be in. And it could save you an expensive trip to the emergency room where you're trying to convince a doctor to give you one of these prescriptions. You could be ready ahead of time. And if you want to get this ultimately badass first aid kit, then you go to twc.health/Stevo and use the promo code Stevo for not only 15% off this epic, compact, everything that you need emergency first aid kit, but you get free shipping too. So if you're an adventurous person like me, then I recommend this. I could have really used it when I got all burned up, when I had the staph infection, could have saved me some medical bills and a trip to the doctor. But hey, you know what? You live and you learn, and wise people learn from other people's mistakes. So learn from my mistake by going to twc.health/Stevo and use the promo code Stevo for 15% off plus free shipping. Yeah, dude. Now let's get back to it. Yeah, and because you did it by yourself with no help for anybody else, then when you go into Universal, you've got the leverage
facts.
To keep your publishing, to keep your...
Hey, but when I went to them, I ain't even know about publishing and all that. I ain't know about none of that. I went to them with... it was an attorney called... Theo. I think... Whether or not Theo. Whatever his name was. I just was like, I ain't trying to give up nothing. Because I felt like I lost everything already, blood.
Yeah.
I lost my family. Nothing can repay me for what I already lost. I lost my mama, my daddy, my brother, my sister. I've been in boys' homes. I was in Canada. I lived a hell of a life as a kid. So I ain't think that none of that could be replaced. So I was like, this is what I want to do. If they won't do it, they won't do it. I want to own my shit. I'm going to own 100% of my shit. Because I was thinking about my little niggas and how we, because all I always remember how they took from everybody. I ain't want that to happen to me. And I thought I was doing it for everybody that it already happened to. So yeah. I'm going to make sure it don't happen to me. And I can paint a picture one day when I'm not here or when God take my life, I was able to paint a picture. That's a mold we need to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was my mindset.
Yeah. Scott here, he told me about something that Andrew Carnegie said. He said the first third of your life is for making mistakes. The facts. Second third of your life is that's for making money. That's and the fact. Final third of your life is for giving that money away.
I can
away.
Respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
And
that's a true analysis.
Yeah.
But we're going to make mistakes. We human.
Yeah.
And we young.
Yeah.
And if we come across a lot of money at a young age, we gonna make a lot of mistakes.
Well, right. And for you, from what I understand, there was with the crack houses and with the jail and everything.
Big facts.
Yeah, like there were plenty of mistakes to
make.
A
lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
I was in the boys' homes. I was adopted by a white family. I was in Canada. I lost my parents at a real young age. So for me, the streets would embrace me. So that's a big mistake by itself. You understand? But being a part of that lifestyle and then coming about that lifestyle, knowing that this ain't the lifestyle that I want to be in, so I got to choose a better lifestyle for myself and what I'm going to do to embrace these youngsters that's following me, because I always was a leader. So I had to make choices.
Right. From what I can tell, you had a hard enough time and made enough mistakes and went to jail that because of all that hardship and because of that time in jail.
Jail made me better. It made me smarter.
Yeah. You came out of jail and then you said, okay, now I'm going to take this record label so seriously. And I'm not gonna mess around with any crime, no drugs, no nothing. Nothing's gonna jeopardize my label. I'm not gonna risk my and if it weren't for everything that you had gone through, maybe you wouldn't have taken the music so seriously.
Oh, of course. I think my my tribes and my hardship made me a better person, bro. That with any human, like, did I want that? Fuck no. But did I need that? Maybe.
Yeah.
It made me a better person.
Yeah.
It made me see life different. All right? Because I was just young. I was young in the trenches. But I seen what that could bring to me if I wasn't smarter. And if I wasn't being a businessman or trying to be a businessman. And it made me change my life.
Yeah. What... When you became like the cash money guy and you're taking it so seriously, but you've got artists that are just in war in the projects and with all the heroin and all that, like it's gotta be tricky. Like how many times you gotta say to your artists like BG, like, hey man, like you gotta cool it down. Like, you know, you gotta like try and keep these guys that are at war, the hot boys. It's like, hey man, let's not be killers in the war and the projects. Let's turn it into a group, the hot boys.
Yeah. But the reality of it, the original hot boys was real
killers.
Yes, you heard me. Yeah. So when I named them the hot boys, my whole thing was to change their life.
Yeah,
and I think I did that. Because they were just rapping. They wasn't like the original Hot Boys.
Yeah.
In no kind of way. They were just young guys that I say, we're going to name y'all the Hot Boys. And they wasn't living like they was living, because them boys was really living like that.
It's scary. You hear me,
Five? No, they was scary. That was real dark. You hear me? So when I got a chance to do that for them, I just knew that it was I always had super confidence in myself and what we was doing, and I knew that that could change our life. And it did that.
Yeah.
It totally did that. It changed our life, and it brought us in different places. And right now, this shit been 25, 30 years later, and they still want to see the Hot Boys.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of a smart move, calling the group Hot Boys just for this.
Man,
that
was just a weird thing, right? I was like, fuck it. I'm going to call the niggas the Hot Boys.
I mean, there's some serious street cred in that.
Nah, they already had a lot of street cred. It was very, very popular from the streets. So, you know, I was like, fuck it, we're going to name these niggas the Hot Boys, which is a group. I was like, that's what we're going to do. And I think that was it's the two smartest things I did in my life. Naming them the Hot Boys and turning over Cash Money to Lil Wayne.
All right. Man, it's crazy that Lil Wayne comes into the picture with Cash Money when he's 12 years old.
Facts.
Yeah, man. Speaking of like going through hard times and becoming a better person, I really, really want to make contact with Vernon Brown, because when I was on that thing with I'm going to make the comedy gangster rap, like, I was in a bad place with drugs.
Facts. I remember that.
I got in a real bad place, and I made a lot of a big mess. I acted like a fool in a big way. Fortunately, I'm almost 16 years clean and sober.
Oh, you did great, brother.
Thank you. Great,
you haven't talked to him since?
I saw him.
No, I haven't talked. I don't know if he talked to Ronnie, but I ain't talked to him since.
Yeah.
Because last time I saw him, he was in New Orleans. Wild boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wild
boy. I did see Vernon Brown at the Dancing with the Stars set, like, just very quickly. But he's one person who...
you 16 years?
Right? Almost 16 years. And
how you did it?
I just took it seriously, man. I took it seriously.
How you feel health-wise and all that? No liquor, no nothing. You don't do
nothing. No liquor, no nothing. No weed, no nothing. Like,
you're doing great, brother.
I appreciate that.
Congratulations, brother.
I appreciate that. And I just, you know, we got to clean up our past. We got to, you know, clean up our side of the street. We got to make things right as much as we can. And I have not done that with Vernon Brown. You know, like, he deserves to hear from me. Like, hey, I want to acknowledge that I acted a fool. I created a problem.
You was a problem.
Steve, what'd you do? Were you rapped in a song?
He was just erratic.
Yeah.
But drugs will make you erratic.
Yeah.
You'll be out your mind. You're out your body, out your space. You're out your mind. Yeah. Like, I don't think he mean no harm or meant no harm. Yeah. Because every time I was around him, I was around him once or twice. But, you know, that was normal for us because we was in the same space he was in. We fucked up, too.
What a good guy. I mean, for him to even suggest that we were in similar places is just very generous. Fact is, I was a really, really crappy person. But you know what? I've gotten a lot better over the years. And one thing that's really gotten unbelievably better is my butthole, because it's always perfectly clean thanks to my bidet from HelloTushy.com. If you've never tried a bidet, let me tell you, it is something that you will be glad you tried, because you're no longer going to be smearing poop all over your butthole. Now you twist the little knob and you got this refreshing spray. It's like pressure cleaning your butt. I mean, then when you get done, you're totally clean. You just dry it off with toilet paper. You're using way less toilet paper, and that's good for the environment. So, I mean, if you're going to turn your life around, turn it all the way around and include your butthole, right? It's just an improvement. And you can get, for a limited time, 10% off your whole order at HelloTushy.com. And for when you're on the road, there's Tushy Travel, which is a collapsible, portable bidet. And I'm telling you, that makes pulling off at a truck stop, being in a porta potty, who cares? You're clean, you're confident, and you're stoked. And there are 5 different colors to choose from for the Tushy Travel. I'm telling you, I do not want to poop without it. And neither will you. So, HelloTushy.com and use the promo code STEVO. That's HelloTushy.com and use the promo code STEVO. Now let's get back to it.
We young and we fucked up. We high as he highs. Like, whatever high you on, nigga, we gonna get higher than you, be as high as you. So, to us, he was normal.
Yeah. It was just with like, so I get into business with Sylvia Roan, you know, Universal Music Group. I got this record. They give me the budget, and I'm out here, like, getting in the studio with big artists. Man, I recorded a track with Be Real from Cypress Hill. I recorded with Kool G Rap. I recorded with M.O.P. Bro. It was like, you know, I had like real artists, and I was spending real money and making real songs, and then I'm turning around and putting the songs on the internet in the middle of my deal, you know, putting it, just leaking my own tracks on the internet and recording snippets of the tracks where I'm insulting and dissing Universal Music Group on the tracks that I'm leaking on the internet. It was a bad look. It was not good. It was not professional. And it didn't reflect well on Vernon Brown. And he just,
real talk. You know, well, Vernon went bad for you. He gone bad for you.
He went bad for me.
He gone bad for you.
And now I feel kind of weird because I'm saying this all at a public level. But it would mean a lot to me if I could
That's a must. Man, that man's so open-minded and smart. Yeah. A real businessman.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I tell him. You're a real business. I've been working with him for almost 30-plus years. Every deal I ever did was done through Vernon Brown and with Mel and Winter, Lucian Grain and Monty and Avery. Every deal we ever did, even Sylvia Roan. You hear me?
Yeah.
That man is a great businessman and
great guy. And he uses his time to help people. That's all he does. He's got his own school for helping people.
Nah, you know, I went to a school a couple of times.
Well, I've been to the school, too. I've been to the school,
what school?
Too. It's like, what was it, Pace Law?
Pace, yeah.
He runs a course on helping artists not get taken advantage of, on being smarter with their money. Like, he...
He got a law thing he preach and he teach.
Yeah, and so, I mean, he never did anything except the best things to help me.
Just to sum it all up, he's a great guy, bro. Yeah. Just to sum it all up.
Yeah, and
he's a great guy.
He was my entertainment lawyer. He did my deal for Jackass #2, my Jackass movie deal.
Big facts.
Yeah, he took care of me, man, like... And so I just, man,
again and again, I just want to tell you thank you for even fucking with me.
Oh, dude.
I'm a fan. I've been a fan since you was fucking with alligators and all that old weird shit you've been doing, bro. Right. I'm a real fan, and I want to make sure we keep our bond together, bro.
Yeah, man. I'm about it.
Big facts, bro.
I'm about it. They told us that that you just got off a plane.
Yeah, I was in New Orleans. I went to a Drake show. Drake was in New Orleans. I had to go see Drake. Drake's like one of my best friends, and he was in my city. Now I just don't like for artists to be in my city and I don't show them that much respect.
Yeah,
you hear me? That I don't show up for them. So, and Drake is one of my best friends, and Nicki gonna be there next week. I'm gonna have to go see her. And whenever Wayne in the city, I definitely do see him. But I just felt like, you know, I had to go see Drake, and we jumped back on a plane today, and I wanted to make sure I came see you.
Ah, man, I appreciate it so much. They said that your plane was gonna land at like 7 p.m., and I'm thinking, what kind of private jet has a schedule like that? You're not flying out. You're not getting on an airplane for American Airlines or Delta.
Oh, no, we PJ. I ain't been on a regular plane in 30 years. And I say that with respect.
Of course.
I just been blessed to do how I want to do and live how I want to live. But I just wanted to get back. We left at 5. So that's 6 here. We got in at 7. And my guy, George Duke, who's one of my best friends, just lined it up with Kill.
Yeah.
And I wanted to make sure that I didn't get to miss this.
Ah, man.
You're like one of my closest white friends.
I love that, man. I love that so much. Okay, do I remember correctly when we were at your place in Louisiana that you had Stretch... Yes. PT Cruisers.
Right. Wayne was there with us. Wayne was there. We had like 4 or 5 Stretch PT Cruisers because that's what we was doing at the time. We had a Stretch Lexus, a Stretch Excursion. I had 50 cars at that time. And I just wanted to make sure when you came, like, because you such a wild boy at the time. I'm like, man, shit. I know my life and your life, we was already on the same level, you know what I mean? So I just wanted to just show you love, brother. Wow, I just wanted to show you love,
brother. I appreciate that, man. I'm interested, do you watch like stand up comedy? Do you got a Netflix account?
Yes.
And what do you watch? Like when you open up, like what's thrown at you? Like what?
I'm big into mafia movies.
Mafia movies.
Like The Godfather.
Okay.
Godfather is my favorite.
Number one or number two?
I watch all of them. Oh. 1, 2, and 3. I study them.
Speaking of Netflix, have you seen that Jake Paul is going to be fighting Mike Tyson?
I just saw that on Netflix.
Yeah, what's your take on that?
It's a tough one.
I like Mike. You know, we all love Mike.
Yeah.
We all love Mike. But you never know. You never know, bro.
Yeah.
You know? I love Mike. I love Mike to death. That's Mike. You know, I come up under Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So we'll see when this show.
You know, when Mike Tyson, like, back in the day, he and I, we did a lot of drugs together. He doesn't mind me saying that either. You know, he doesn't mind me saying that.
Mike.
Then I went to rehab. I got clean and sober, and in my early, like, you know, early on, like I ended up in a psychiatric ward, and then Mike Tyson shows up. We were locked up together in a psychiatric ward, me and Mike. He doesn't mind me telling you that either.
That's Mike, my brother.
Yeah. We both love it, the fact that we were locked up like that. And, now we're doing good. I think that with the Jake Paul and Mike Tyson, it's lose-lose for Jake Paul, because if he beats up Mike Tyson, you just beat up a 58-year-old man. Like, that's not a good one. He's 57 now, but at the time that the fight happens, Mike Tyson's going to be 58.
Yeah.
That's so, like, there's no credibility, and you beat up 15.
Yeah, but do you really think he's gonna beat him up?
I mean, I don't know. I think it's a bad
man. Thing. It's weird. You never know.
I mean, it's gonna be a huge bag but for both of them.
I'm forever Mike Tyson.
Yeah, that's for sure. Let me ask you this, and we're gonna let you get your food, but is there any beef that I need to inherit to have your back?
No, I don't have no beef. I don't have no beef.
Yeah, okay. Because
I'm too old to have beef.
Okay.
I ain't beefing with no nigga. Okay. You know, hip hop come with a lot of beef. You hear me?
What?
And a lot of people get, you know, hip hop come with murder.
Has hip hop become soft compared to when you came up?
Fuck no.
Okay.
We was booed. We was cool back then without social media. Now these young niggas killing. It's a different operation. You just got to know how to adjust either way.
Yeah.
It's a different time from then to now. Back then, we ain't have social media. So if you got a problem with a nigga, who gonna know?
Yeah.
Because you ain't making songs about no nigga. But nowadays, with social media, if you got a problem, the whole world gonna know. It's just a different times, and I just hope it get better, bro. I don't want to see people losing their lives, and because that's happening. Yeah. Even niggas rapping or not rapping, people really losing their life over social media.
Yeah, it's crazy. You see them on live saying, like, here, pull up. This is where I'm at. And they pull up.
And splatting. You yeah. remember five? So we got to do better with that, bro. We got to do totally better with that because we don't want to see that. I don't think that's cause for, but it is what it is, and we can't change it.
Yeah, man. Well, right on, dude. I could talk to you all night long, but
I could talk to you all night too, brother.
Yeah.
Now you're one of my best friends.
Thank you, baby.
Without a doubt,
bro. Oh, dude, what do you want to ask bro, you this?
Hey, I'm glad you've been clean for 16 summers. Well, yeah. You did good. And well, you're looking you. Good too, brother.
Thank you, man. I turned 50 in June.
And you're still a baby.
Well, thanks, man. Speaking
I'm 55.
You look good too, man. Is it correct that your name, Baby, it says on Wikipedia that for the first month of your life,
yes,
they didn't name
my mama
you.
Never made me.
They didn't give you a name for the first month. That's they just called fact. You Baby.
Facts.
That was your name.
Nah, everybody. If you're from Louisiana, they all call me Baby.
They call
me Baby.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm good with it, too. You know what I mean? Because I really like, I say if I ever have another child, I will name a baby. Just to keep that heritage going. Because I was raised like that. And my mama was Miss Gladys. She didn't name me till after I came out the hospital for a couple of months.
Yeah, babe, that's a really cool way to get the name Baby.
Right, yeah, for real. Hey, man. Hey, bro, I'm really proud of you.
Yeah.
I'm proud of your clients.
Yeah.
And just your grind, your hard work, and what you done put into this game, and what you done put into your culture, and put into yourself. Hey, man, I'm proud of you, bro.
Well, thank you, man. Last question. Scott. You got
oh boy. Is it true the Birdman flies in any weather?
That's big facts.
Okay, good.
Is it the bird, you're always flying no matter what the weather is?
When I say flying any weather, that means I'm fly Monday through Sunday. And if I need to fly, I will fly in any weather. So when you're talking about flying in any weather, it's about culture, fashion, travel. It's a lot of different things when you say, excuse me, flying any weather. So for me, when I say flying any weather, every time we step outside, we fly. Every time we go somewhere, we fly. Every time we travel, we fly. Every time we see abroad, we fly. Everything we do is just fly. So, you know, I go back to that number one stunner model.
Yeah, and when you put something on sale, it flies.
Yep. Big facts, man.
Yeah.
Big facts, man.
All right, man. Dude, thank you so
much
for
thank
doing
you,
this.
Brother. Thank yeah. you, brother. Very proud of you and
hey,
all
man.
Your success, bro.
Yeah, likewise.
Thank you.
Likewise.
Nice to meet
you. You too, brother.
Yeah.
I dare say that episode was gangster. And my man Vinny just couldn't even believe it. He's like, dude, what a flex.
Seriously.
Yeah. We got Birdman on the podcast, and he's my bro. I mean, I don't disagree, Vinny. I think that was a flex. And I want to thank all of you who stuck around to the very end of the episode, even though it wasn't a very long episode. It's you guys who watch all the way through, listen all the way through, and that you're here at the very end, who I love more than anybody else. So thank you, my wonderful people, and be well.